Howard didn't give me a time limit, so we're going to keep this short and sweet, and nobody has any trouble with that. So, my topic was remembering the death of Christ. And this is one of those topics that kind of, when I started thinking about it, and I was like, really, how do I approach this? And I really thought about it from the standpoint of how often do we actually remember the death of Christ? Do we do it every Sunday? Do we do it every church service? Do we do it every day? Or do we do it every decision that we make? And a lot of the times I looked at it and I thought, you know, I really do good with the first two. Now the second two, I don't do as well with. And I got to thinking about that. How do we get to the point that we never forget what he did for us? And it takes practice. I tell my son, both of them are in T-ball and baseball and that kind of stuff. Practice, even though that you practice, you have to do it till it becomes a repetitive motion, that it becomes so ingrained in you that it becomes an automatic reflex. And that's what we have to do with Christ. We have to incorporate him into our lives, into our minds, and into our hearts. And we kind of touched on this morning in our Sunday school class, and Bradley does an excellent job on that. And we talked about the deliberate actions that we take, whether they be for good or whether they be for bad. It still requires action on our part. And it's one of those things where Heather reads a lot of the self-help Christian books and that kind of stuff. And because she reads them, I have to read inserts in them. I don't read the whole book, okay? She makes me read parts of these books. But there was one of them that I really, really liked. And it really, really hit home on something. And I loved it. And it said, make Christ like the air that you breathe. And I really thought about that. And what it is incorporate him into your life so much that it's just like the air that you have to breathe. It becomes a necessity. It becomes an absolute. It becomes something that's a part of you that you have to give to everyone else and you have to share. And everyone else can see that through you. One of the things that I kind of just made like a bullet point list on, and I really thought about this, and I know that, you know, just remembering him, it's really easy to say that, but like I said, it takes deliberate action in our prayer life, because without him, the door to our Father is closed. He opened that gateway. He opened that path of communication between us. He opened that for us. The decisions. Everybody remembers the bracelets, WWJD. What would Jesus do? And I love those because it made you think, what would Jesus do? In our decisions, in our everyday lives, and that kind of stuff, not only does that take and reflect into the decisions that we have to make, we hold ourselves to a higher standard. Something that we think about. Well, what would Jesus think about this decision? How does this affect everything else? How do others see me when I make this decision? Sharing. One of the things that I love, and I love with our boys and stuff like that, we try to take and make them understand. We give credit where credit's due. God has blessed each one of us. We live in a nation that far surpasses anything else. And we're truly blessed on everything. And I don't think we do a good enough job giving God the credit for a lot of that stuff. One of the other things, and I thought about this, was remembering him through his creations. We are God's creation. So is outside. So is nature. And I love springtime, summertime, and everything else. I love seeing everything turn green. And I love seeing the change, the metamorphosis that happens, that things come from a dead, almost dormant sleep to everything lush, green, and alive. And that's the way that we should be in Christ. And that's what he did for us. We were dead, and then he made us alive again. One of the other things is service. One of the best ways and one of the most important things that I think we can do is service. getting involved in other things, putting yourself out there, helping to just get involved and do something for someone else or something greater than yourself. Christ asked us to be servants. And if we're not serving, then what are we really doing? And then the last one that I want to kind of hit on was striving. We all strive for different things, and we should strive for perfection. We should strive for perfection in everything that we do. Does that mean we're always going to hit our mark? No, because we're not perfect. But the good thing is that we don't have to be. Christ was our perfection. And if we have Him in us, then we're perfect too. We might not do everything right, but that's where God's grace comes in. And that's one of the things that I think we have to remember and keep in mind with the death of Christ. Now, this is Memorial Day weekend, and we always want to take time to remember those that died for us and our freedom, because freedom is never free, and someone always has to pay. And the great news is that Christ has already made that sacrifice for us, for our freedom, for our souls, and for our eternity. If we keep Him here, we keep Him in our mind, we keep Him in our hearts, and everything that we do, we can't go wrong. And now, it's just up to us what we decide to do with that freedom. And I think Bradley's going to lead us in another song, and I'll let the other ones take over. Thank you.
Lord, ask that I speak on our veterans, especially those that have gone on in protecting in this country. I'm also acknowledged by Larry Davis out there. He gave me the sign to keep it short, as I always do him. What I'd like to do first is to acknowledge what a veteran is. And I'm going to bring this into a relationship that I have, because this is my adopted state through schooling and through marriage. So I'm here as long as she tells me we stay here. So I'm going to relate it to a little bit into Tennessee that we're proud of. Back in World War I, the most decorated man in World War I was from Pall Mall, Tennessee. Alvin C. York. In fact, he grew up in the Church of Christ. He was a conscientious objector. And one day his commanding officer told him to go spend a couple days and figure out what you want to do in life, if you're going to fight or not. And what he did, he came back with these two verses, Ecclesiastes 3:8. There's a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Then he went to Mark 24, where Jesus talks about there will always be wars and rumors of wars. With that conviction, he went on. Let me bring it a little closer to us in this county. Out of the 8 Medal of Honors in this state, 3 from Hardin County. We have Bolden Rush Harrison, who received the Medal of Honor just prior to World War II. We have, World War I. We have Vernon McCarity in the Second World War, in the Battle of the Bulge, and then a prisoner of war, and then one of our adopted young man that went through school here, William Kyle Carpenter, was issued a Medal of Honor for his heroic efforts in falling on a hand grenade to save his buddies. To those veterans, and to all of our veterans here, and I acknowledge the patriarch of our veterans, I don't know if he's here tonight, Lowell Phillips, but to him, to him and to all of us that have veterans in our family, we appreciate that. Now, Memorial Day is a day for those remembered who were killed in action Veterans Day, November 11th, is those who were in the uniform. And then Armed Forces Day, which was the earlier part of this month on the 18th, is who those who are in the uniform. But I placed a plaque out in the foyer this morning. It gathered dust from sitting in the library. You may have seen it this morning. If not, go see it. It's a plaque that was put together by this church following World War II. And Howard's guaranteed to know that when they moved here as a family in 53, it was here. But it has names on it. Now, those names are related to World War II. I don't think it's the Korean War. But take a look at it out there. It may be family members or someone you knew. But since then, our veterans have seen actions in Vietnam, Korea, Afghanistan, Iran, Vietnam. We've had a lot of things that have attacked our nation. And each and every one of you, no matter how old you are, have lived in a country that you have been free to worship, to love your family, to enjoy life, to grow old, and prosper and enjoy life as much as you can. There's many people in this world that don't have that. And so this Memorial Day is a time to enjoy family. At one time, people stormed the beaches of Normandy, and now people storm the beaches of Florida. It's freedom. But tomorrow at the memorial at Shiloh, if you've never been there, to walk through that cemetery is spellbinding. The graves, the place, the issuance of another time in our lives where thousands of people lost their lives. But I think what the most important thing is to realize that we need to always be thankful for those who gave their lives. We do a memorial every Sunday morning in communion to remember our Lord and Savior. It's wonderful. I love it. But it's a memorial also for those who have passed on. And before I close, I would be remiss in my own spiritual growth and my studies to not give us a warning. A warning that is affecting every one of us and our family. And that comes out of not fighting from man to man in a field or country to country. It's fighting in Ephesians, it's referenced in Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're not fighting other people. All of us are veterans in an effort that we keep our family safe from the demonic nature that is creeping in this country more and more and more. Those of you who are old know the changes you've seen in the last few decades. Satan is after our children and our grandchildren. And we have to be veterans with diligence in our efforts to save us so that we can have an eternal life with our Heavenly Father in Christ. So this day is a special day, this weekend. Thank God for it, and thank God for this church to bring it to our attention.
Howard has asked me to speak about people that God has used in my life and has made an influence in my life. And you know, when we start to really think about something that we're preparing for, a lesson or a talk, and you start digging into the details of the meanings of words, and you really, for me, sometimes I have the tendency to overthink things. But influences in our lives, the word influence is a powerful word. It has the ability to change a person's character. It has the ability to change the behavior and even the development in another person. And, you know, God puts us in the midst of many people in our lives. I'll be pushing 59 this year, and I've been around a lot of people in my life. My profession, I deal with people on a daily basis. I deal with a lot of individuals. So, you know, I've been around people a lot in my life, and I've been around a lot of people that have influenced me. Of course, influence can be good, influence can be bad. We're influenced by people's actions. We're influenced by their words, by their attitudes, and we're influenced by the way they live their lives. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." And 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believer an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." So influence is a powerful word. We as Christians, individuals, we influence people every day in our lives. And we're also being influenced. I'll take a little side note here, and just, it's sometimes we don't realize that we are being influenced by what people do. The ladies at the bank the other day were talking about making a strawberry pie. And this is strawberry season, or I've had a few pieces here lately. And you know, they were talking about, you know, putting whipped cream on it, and it really sounded good, especially in this hot weather and on Memorial Day. And I found myself a couple of days later having a craving for strawberry pie with whipped cream. And you know, as I was kind of thinking, you know, just I knew Howard asked me to a few weeks ago would I talk about this, and I said, you know, they influenced me. You know, subconsciously, I was influenced. You know, I say that, but you know, again, you know, we're surrounded by all kinds of people. We come in contact with all different types of people. Howard influenced me to get up here and speak tonight. How he did that, I have a lot of respect for Howard. Howard has influenced my life. You may not know this, but I've watched Howard. He's a good man. And I know he's influenced a lot of people over his lifetime for the Lord. So I told Howard I would be glad to do it if I was going to be in town. And being the month of May, there's a lot of reunions and decorations. And I was at a decoration today, and remembering all the past family members, you know, that were not there, and how they had influenced my life over the years. by their actions, by their words, and how they live their life. God uses a lot of people around us to help us. Our families, our parents, our grandparents, our friends, our neighbors, co-workers, and you, our church family. He can even use a painter that may paint your house, or he can use a doctor that's treated an illness. But God can use all these people that we come in contact with to influence in our lives. There are people that are around us that bring great joy, and there are people around us that bring us pain. There are people, and then there are those people that bring us both joy and pain. And you know, those are the closest relationships that we find ourselves in, the ones that bring us the joy and pain. But you know, that's just the nature of those type of relationships. But I believe in no relationship or no interaction with another person is outside the reach of God, His care, or His ability to carry you through it. I know we may wonder, and I've wondered, and I've had questions at times that I find myself in some of these joyous and painful relationships with people in my past. But I always knew that God was at work in those relationships, and I really believe that He is in each of our relationship. God is there and God is at work. So I'm going to talk somewhat specific about people in my life that have made an impact. There's a quote, and I hope, you know, I was hoping something. I lost my mom in March of this year, and I hope sometimes, you know, and all of you out there have been down the same road. I'm not any different, but you know how sometimes things bubble up in you, and I hope to get through most of this, but there's a quote that really hits it dead on how I look at people in my life that God has used. And it says, some people come into our lives as blessings, and some people come into our lives as lessons. And, you know, in preparing for this, I thought, you know, that is so true in my situation. People, as I look back, that have influenced me by their actions, the words, the attitudes, and how they've lived their life, you know, it's been a blessing for me, and it's been a lesson for me to live my life. You know, I have to talk about my parents. Obviously, if it wasn't for my parents, I wouldn't be standing here today. You know, my parents were a blessing in my life. They provided life lessons to me. They influenced my life. They laid the early foundation of who I am today. They instilled godly values with their actions, their words, their attitude, and most of all, how they live their life. You know, most of us older people and my age can identify with this. It was a different era that we were raised up in. You know, my dad, I don't know if he ever told me that he loved me, but he didn't have to. And I've had so many people in my era tell me that their father was like that. But you know, my dad didn't have to tell me he loved me. I knew it. I loved it. I knew he loved me the way he treated me. But they instill godly values into me. We were very, very close. And we experienced a time of joy, a lifetime of joy together. And at the end of their lives, they are the ones, the relationships that bring the joy and the pain. They brought me the pain of seeing them suffer as their health started failing. But as I look back now, it drawed me closer to God. It was a big influence during that end time, going through those hard times. They brought me closer to God at the end of their time. And I'm so thankful for that. And they influenced me with their, and they were a blessing, and they were a lesson in my life. The second person in my life, all of you can identify with, is Jesus. Never will forget the night of, it was in 1978 when I realized that I was a sinner and I needed Christ in my life. And I asked Christ to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life. And He has changed my life, and He has influenced my life and challenged me to walk in His footsteps. And I've tried to do that even up until this day. But I can tell you, if it were not for Jesus, I wouldn't be the Donnie that you know today. Because I try to walk in His footsteps, and without the influence of Jesus in my life, I wouldn't be that person. I wouldn't be standing here, I guess, today. So Jesus, you know, influences my life. Still today, and you know, I still strive to walk in His footsteps. And then there's my wife. I don't know, you know, just things happen in life, and I don't know for sure if God brought her into my life, but I'm so thankful I found her, and she's in my life, and she is a blessing in my life. She's my life partner, and she stands beside me. She encourages me. She supports me. And you all have your own stories and everything, but you know, we've gone through the trials of life, of losing family members, sickness, and just things that we endure in life. And she's been there with me, and through all of this, we've grown closer together. But most importantly, we've grown closer to God. So she's been a blessing in my life and a lesson in my life. My children, and you all can identify with that, have certainly been a blessing. A blessing from God. And they have challenged me and influenced me to be a better person, to be a good father, to be a good role model for them, to try to walk like Christ. So they've influenced me, and even through their ups and downs and trials, they've even drawn me closer to God. And there's a pattern here, you know, lessons and lessons that you learn in life. If you have the influence of Jesus, even in the rough times, you're drawn closer to God. He draws you closer. And then there's my co-workers, my friends. You know, when you work in the public, we spend most of our time with our colleagues and co-workers. And God has used people that I've worked with as an influence in my life. Really, really strong influence in my life. One of them happens to be an elder here at the church. I won't call Donnie Jean's name, but Donnie and I have worked together many, many years. And I want to tell you, Donnie has been a big influence in my life. I don't know if God put me at Citizens Bank some 30-something years ago when we were both young and strong and fast. But Donnie is a good man. He's been an influence in our community. He's been an influence with his co-workers. And he's made a difference in my life in helping me be a better person. I didn't really know if I needed to get specific in naming people out, but and then there, you know, I can't leave another one out here is Brenda Duncan. I worked with Brenda 20 years nearly, and Brenda is a fine woman. And you know, Brenda's may not know this, but she's influenced my life. I've seen Brenda go through trials, and as I saw Donnie go through trials of life, I'm watching people in my life by their actions, by their words, by their attitude, by the way they live their life. I'm not only watching, but people are watching me, and people are watching you too. So influence is a two-way road. And then Paula McLean, I don't know if she's here tonight. Paula was an influence in my life, and I saw Paula go through trials. And Ronnie Armstrong, Ricky Samples, many of y'all know those guys. They're fine guys. I was blessed to be put in a work environment with Christian people, and they made a difference in my life. They made me want to be a better person. So there's just all kinds of people in our lives that I can think of, and I know you can think of also, that influence you. And then I'm winding down here. I said, I don't really like to talk a lot. And she says, well, you do. And I said, well, I don't really like to. But I get going, you know, and I there's some things I just want to say. But in winding up here, people that have influenced my life are you. I've already pointed out Mr. Howard. I won't point out anybody else. You know, I'm stepping on toes, I guess, tonight. Calling names. But you as my extended church family, a lot of you have been an influence to me, to my family. And I'm so thankful that God has put us in a church family as we have here. You've influenced me again through your actions, through your words, through your attitudes, and the way you've lived your life. You know, some of you are so great of an example of how we should live a Christian life. And it's obvious, you know, because I've watched you. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, how we need to be. We need to be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So God said, Paul writes, so Paul tells us, you know, to live a life of love. Well, I ask, what does that look like to you? Well, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, love God with all your heart and all your soul. And then he said, the second greatest commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself. So I'll leave you with that. Live a life of love. Love your neighbor. Love God. And just one last thing, you know, and I just, again, want to reiterate, as I thought about this, you know, influence, be mindful of how we act, how we use our words, how we project our attitude, and how we live our life. You never know who you're influencing for God. If you have a need tonight for us to pray for you, for anything that you may be experiencing in your life, then I would encourage you to come forward tonight. And Howard, some of the elders would be glad to pray with you. And again, I just want to thank you for being a loving church family as you are.